Divine Grace Sabaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Marshila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Kauti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Hoyadas Thakur Kijai Ren Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Srila Siddhigaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Navaditam Kijai Jagadatasami Kijai Yuvunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gopa Prevananda Hari 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 Gol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Govanga Shivopad Ki Jai. We'd like to welcome, we have Vital Tony Patel, Rasa Mandal from Auckland, Radhika Noor from Croatia and Europe, pretty good. Vasavan Gayatri, Sachin Mittal. Anyway, a lot of more people watching. Nice, isn't it? That way we get worldwide coverage. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 11th chapter, text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tatas Turasad Ishu Vata Vajarad Vidirgataha Shashvat Vata Vajagranaki Vabau Vishad Kam Vitivim Sa'acha Rochayan Swatejasa Surya Eva Akshapatjayai. Tatas Turashadishu Badaparn Apanjarad Nirgatat Shasva Ratadvajagrani Babodishad Kam Priti Vimjarochayan Swatejasa Surya Ivakshapatyaye Astu Rasha Nishu Bada Panjara Vinirgata Shastra Ratad Vajagranehi Abodishakam Priti Vim Charochayan Tejasa Surya Ivasha Patya Jay Tastura Shari Shubhara Panjara Nirgata Shashvara Tabuja Granaki Bodhishakam Vidivim Jarochayam Vatejasa Surya Givasha Pachaye. Okay.
Oh,
From the cage of the network of arrows. Vinirgataha, being released. Sa, with. Ashva, horses. Rata, chariot. Vlaja, flag. Agranahi, and chariot driver. Vabau became Dishaha, all directions. Kam, the sky. Prativim, the earth. Cha, and Rochehan, pleasing everywhere. Swatejasa, by his personal effulgence. Suryaha, the sun. Eva, like. Shabba Atyaye, at the end of night. So translation. And actually, there's a lot of verses I'm going to be reading today because there's no purport, or it's just like a one line, one sentence purport for the next few verses until the end of the chapter. So, but it's quite dramatic. It's a story of fighting between the demons and the demigods. So translation. Thereafter, Indra released himself from his cage of the network of arrows, appearing with his chariot, flag, horses, and chariot driver, thus pleasing the sky, the earth, and all directions. He shone effulgently like the sun at the end of night. Indra was bright and beautiful in the vision of everyone. And actually, I'm just going to read the English translations, since it's quite lengthy. We've got about 10 pages or more pages to read. Actually, about 20 pages to read. So when Indra, who is known as Rajadwara, the carrier of the thunderbolts over his own soldiers, so oppressed by the enemies on the battlefield, he became very angry. Thus he took up his thunderbolt to kill the enemies. O King Pariksit, King Indra used his thunderbolt to cut off the heads of both Paka, Abala, and Paka. Bala and Paka, he was full of grief and lamentation. Thus he angrily made a great attempt to kill Indra. Being angry and roaring like a lion, the demon Namuchi took up a steel spear, which was bound with bells and decorated with ornaments of gold. He loudly cried, "Now you are killed!" Thus coming before Indra to kill him, Namuchi released his weapon. O King, when Indra, King of Heaven, saw this very powerful spear falling toward the ground like a blazing meteor, he immediately cut it to pieces with his arrows. Then, being very angry, he struck Namuchi's shoulder with his thunderbolt to cut off Namuchi's head. Although King Indra hurled his thunderbolt at Namuchi with great force, it could not even pierce his skin. It was very wonderful that the famed thunderbolt that had pierced the body of Rudrasura could not even slightly injure the skin of Namuchi's neck. When Indra saw the thunderbolt return from the enemy, he was very much afraid. He began to wonder whether this had happened because of some miraculous superior power. Srila Prabhupada explains that Indra's thunderbolt is invincible, and therefore when Indra saw that it would return without doing any injury to Namuchi, he was certainly very much afraid. Indra thought, formerly, when many mountains flying in the sky with wings would fall to the ground and kill people, I cut their wings with the same thunderbolt. Vritrasura was the essence of the austerities undergone by Tvashta, yet the thunderbolt killed him. Indeed, not only he, but also many other stalwart heroes, whose very skin could not be injured even by all kinds of weapons, were killed by the same thunderbolt. But now, although the same thunderbolt has been released against a less important demon, it has been ineffectual. That means it did not. Therefore, although it was good as a Brahmastra, it has now become useless like an ordinary rod. I shall therefore hold it no longer. Shukadeva Goswami continued, while the morose Indra was lamenting in this way, an ominous, unembodied voice said from the sky, "This demon Namuji is not to be annihilated by anything dry or moist." That means dry or wet. Voice also. After hearing the ominous voice, Indra with great attention began to meditate upon how to kill the demon. He then saw that foam would be the means, for it is neither moist nor dry. Thus Indra, king of heaven, severed Namuchi's head with a weapon of foam, which was neither dry nor moist. Then all the sages satisfied Indra, the exalted personality, by showering flowers and garlands upon him, almost covering him. So in the purport it says, in this regard, the Shruti mantras say, Apam Penam Namuchi Shira Indra Dharavat. Indra killed Namuchi with watery foam, which is neither moist nor dry. Vishvasu and Parashu, the two chiefs of the Gandharvas, sang in great happiness. The kettle drums of the demigods sounded, and the Apsaras danced in jubilation. Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and the other demigods began killing the demons who opposed them, just as lions kill deer in the forest. O king, when Lord Brahma saw the imminent total annihilation of the demons, he sent a message with Narada, who went before the demigods to make them stop fighting. The great sage Narada said, "All of you demigods are protected by the arms of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by his grace you have gotten the nectar. By the grace of the Goddess of Fortune, you are glorious in every way. Therefore, please stop this fighting." Shukadeva Goswami said, accepting the words of Narada, the demigods gave up their anger and stopped fighting. Being praised by their followers, they returned to the heavenly planets. Following the order of Narada Muni, whatever demons remained on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj, who was in a very precarious condition, that means he was almost dead, to the hill known as Astagiri. There on that hill, Shukracharya brought to life all the dead demoniac soldiers who had not lost their heads, trunks, and limbs. He achieved this by his own mantra known as Sanjivani. Bali Maharaj was very experienced in universal affairs. When he regained his senses and memory, by the grace of Shukracharya, he could understand everything that had happened. Therefore, although he had been defeated, he did not lament. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that it is significant that Bali Maharaj is here said to be very experienced. Although defeated, he was not at all sorry, for he knew that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since he was a devotee, he accepted his defeat without lamentation. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 47, Akarmanya eva dikaraste mahapaleshu kadachana. Everyone in Krishna consciousness should execute his duty without regard for victory or defeat. One must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. In first-class devotional service, one always abides by the orders and will of Krishna. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports in the 8th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. So Om Aganat Manandha Shah, Dinanjana Swataya Taksur Mitam, Yena Tasmai Shigurve Maha. So it's a very interesting fight between the demons and the demigods. But I think the most miraculous thing that occurs here is two things in this particular narration. One, Narada Muni is told to stop the fight. Now you would think that all the demons should be eliminated, right? Then why should we leave any more demons in the universe? So that's quite interesting. Narada Muni was called by the Lord Brahma to stop the fight. So the reason for this, as we mentioned yesterday, because some of you weren't in class, there's actually several reasons. One reason is to keep the demigods from becoming complacent. In other words, becoming just sense enjoyers. Because when you have Sakama devotees means a devotee with a desire. And of course we see this in Fiji quite a bit when people pray to Krishna. They do the Satyanarayan Katha. You've heard about that before? Satyanarayan Katha, where they tell stories about people who worshipped Krishna or Vishnu, and they got a lot of wealth, and it encourages them. Just like in this temple, we have some pictures here that encourage people in the same way. Very, very interesting. Like Sudama Brahman picture, right? Everybody knows Sudama Brahman? That sometimes when we preach to people to encourage them to take up Krishna consciousness, we tell them the story of Sudama Brahman. Sudama Brahman just offered Krishna a little bit of grains of rice, broken rice, and what happened? Anyone know? He got a palace, a swimming pool, servants, new car, everything. Not really car, but anyway. So people go, wow, I should worship Krishna. So there's many stories like that that are told to encourage people to worship Krishna. And of course in the Bhagavatam it says he should worship Krishna. So sometimes we have to hang a little carrot in front of somebody. You know what a carrot is? Anyway, I'll explain what I mean. Carrot. Anyway, there's a story, many stories we learned when we were young. To get a donkey to move, you gotta hang a carrot in front of him, and you have the carrot. So this keeps going down. That's interesting. Oh, thank you, that's intelligence. And the carrot moves as fast as the donkey moves, right? You see this picture? The carrot is attached to the donkey's head and he just goes, it keeps moving like that. Very, very interesting. So, sometimes people just need that impetus. I mean, there's many stories in the Vedic literatures. You have Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, right? And he actually basically wanted to sit on his father's lap. There's that whole story. And so, in order to do that, he was worshipping Vishnu for a material purpose. And then ultimately, what happened? He gave it all up. So, this is how we attract people to Krishna consciousness. I mean, for example, we give people opulent food. I mean, prasadam is spiritual. Everything we do is spiritual, obviously. But we give people opulent food, food cooked, hopefully in ghee. Anyway, I remember when I joined the movement, everything was cooked in ghee and it tasted so good you never forget the taste of it. Now they use motor oil, right? We buy it from Sanatana. Discount price. So anyway, so we offer people opulent food and they're not ready for renunciation. So we have to give people, actually Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told a very nice story in this regard. He said, if you want to keep a servant, you give the servant like basmati rice with ghee on it. Because then the story goes as follows. There was a man who could never keep a servant because he was treating his servant very badly. And so his friend advised him, you give your servant basmati rice with ghee. Give him that for 2 weeks, he'll never leave. So the servant was given basmati rice with ghee for 2 weeks, and even though he was treated badly, he never left. So of course we don't treat people badly in the Krishna Conscious Movement, but there is some austerity that occurs as one advances in Krishna Consciousness. Like Prabhupada would say, when someone joins the movement, eat so much that it goes up to your neck. And we did that. We followed that instruction very nicely. I wish I could follow all the instructions nicely. But we followed that instruction very nicely. And after the Sunday feast, we would have to lie on our side because our stomach was hurting. We just go, oh, I got purified. So, but that injunction doesn't apply when you're 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement. If I did that, I'd be dead right now. So it's interesting that we look at the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and it's, for some of us, it's frightening, right? I mean, they slept maybe half hour a day, not even sleeping, resting. They ate. We hear the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. He's eating rejected rice that even the cows wouldn't touch. Oh my God. And this Goswamis of Vrindavan, sometimes they're eating a little buttermilk chach every 2 days, and they're living, and they're dressed in gumshas, and that's it. No fancy clothes, right? And sometimes it's very cold in Vrindavan. I want to speak of hot showers. It's interesting. Actually, this morning you turn on the water, there's no hot water. That's because I have a cold. I won't take a hot shower. I mean, but otherwise, I'm happy with the cold water. So, but they had nothing like that. And so we hear about that and go, oh my God. I remember hearing about that when I joined the movement. And I thought, I never want to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. If that's what it means. If that's what it means to give up eating and sleeping and enjoying the body. But then Krishna is very tricky. Very tricky, you know. Because as you perform bhakti yoga, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajolajita, Janayati Asu Vairagyam Yanam Chayada Hoitagam, naturally you become detached. You know, after 50 years, you become a little detached. That's my experience. And so, it's Krishna's trick to get us to be Krishna conscious. You understand? Because ultimately, there's no pleasure from the senses and their sense objects, at least material senses and their sense objects. But pleasure is hearing and chanting. Manchita, mankata, pranam, bhavyantas cha, paraspara. Katyan chas, tvam vicham. Tushanti cha, ramanti cha. That's from Bhagavad Gita. That the devotees, they're always discussing with each other about Krishna, Krishna Gita, Bhagavatam, which is Krishna Gita, Bhagavad Gita, which is Krishna Gita, and they're deriving great satisfaction consciousness. Forgetting to eat, forgetting to enjoy material life, is because they're having so much fun. Rasa Varjan, Rasa Pyasa, Paranjastani Vartate, they're having a higher taste. So anyway, so the demigods, getting back to the point, the demigods are actually on that level. They like to eat food cooked in ghee. Everything is cooked in ghee in the heavenly planets. Did you know that? Story of the Bhagavatam on the earth planet. And one of the conditions she made is, I never want food that's not cooked in ghee. And he said, of course. He was very attached, this Pururva. This is the story of Bhagavatam. So they're living very nicely. We described yesterday that there's no smells in the body. There's no babies crying in the heavenly planets. There's no old age. No, basically no miseries. So if it's a situation like that, there's no surrender to Krishna either. No pain, no gain. So the demons are necessary to give the demigods pain and to engage them in Krishna's service. It's a big reason. And another reason I thought about, which I didn't mention yesterday, is, you know, there's 7 indirect rasas. There's 5 direct rasas. And the indirect rasas are like chivalry, ghastliness, compassion, anger, fear. I mean, these are humor. These are indirect rasas. Of course, many of them are fully exhibited in the spiritual world, like humor. But ghastliness, anger, fear, that's there in this world. And so Krishna has to keep some demons around. So he has someone to fight with. He actually has devotees come down and appear as demons. So this is a very interesting point. So that's why there always has to be demons in the universe. We mentioned this yesterday. Now another point is, why does Bali Maharaj, and he's a pure devotee, remember this, he's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, why is he still on the side of the demons? I mean, why doesn't he do what Vibhishan did? You all know Vibhishan? You're all Ram Bhaktas. Vibhishan said to the demons, he said to his brother, Ravan and the rest of them, goodbye. And he joined Ram. But the interesting thing is, guess what happened later after Ram left this world? Vibhishan took over the demons again. Wow. Isn't that interesting? He took over the demons. So why is Prahlad Maharaj still with the demons? Why is Vibhishan still with the demons? Why is Bali Maharaj still with the demons in spite of being great pure devotees? I mean, you've got Mahajanas here who are great pure devotees. Well, the reason is because they're compassionate. That's why they remain with the demons. Because they're interested in rectifying the demons and bringing them to the point of Krishna consciousness. And they're also interested in doing their service. That is their service. That's what Prabhupada mentions here. Alukuyena Krishnanu Chilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. Because it would be a lot easier for them to go back to Godhead, to be with the devotees, to enjoy life like that. But they are serving Krishna in a way described by Srila Rupa Goswami, which is the verse I just quoted here from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They're doing what Krishna wants, and they're doing it gladly and actively. This is the nutshell verse of the Brahma Sangita. Anyabhi lashtashanyam jnanakarma namatam anukuyena krishnanu shivanam bhakti uttamam. So that's really what pure devotional service is. And first of all, the negative definition is given. It's devoid of any desire to enjoy yourself grossly or subtly. And the course that I'm preparing right now on Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha, he deals with gross and subtle types of attractions in this world. Gross attraction he considers to be like witches, and subtle attraction he considers to be like a donkey passing urine on someone's head, taking a bath with urine. So, anyway, so pure devotional service is free of any personal motivation. Free. No personal motivation. And that's the negative definition. But the positive definition is just trying to please Krishna, no matter what. So a devotee is willing to go to hell. We quoted this verse yesterday. Narayana paraksare nakudashtina vibhuti swarta pravagana narakeshu apituliyarta darshana. A devotee is willing to go to heaven, hell, wherever God wants him to preach. Actually, if you went to hell, it would be good preaching. Fantastic preaching in hell, because you wouldn't have to tell people to call him a Shashvatam. And I know it. I'm being whipped by the Yamadutas. I'm being put through the sugarcane press. That's what they do. Yamadutas, sometimes they put people through the sugar. You know what a sugar? Yeah, of course you know what a sugarcane press is. They put you through, roll you back and forth, and you don't die. or you throw them off a cliff, and even though your bones are broken, you have to walk up the cliff again, walk up the mountain again. And so, easy preaching there. Chant Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? And then if you go try to preach in the heavenly planets, you say, chant Hare Krishna. Indra may say, well, I'm too busy watching the Apsaras. Like when his guru, Brihaspati, walked in. He was too busy, being praised by the other demigods to even acknowledge, pay obeisances, or even stand up when his guru came in. So anyway, so a devotee is willing to go anywhere. And that's interesting in regard to Lord Shiva. Sometimes we hear that Vaishnavadam Yatha Shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. He is. Of course, this is interesting that many times we hear different devotees are the greatest Vaishnavas. But all those things are true. In the spiritual world, so many people can be the greatest Vaishnava. I mean, Radharani is the greatest Vaishnava, right? In a real sense. So, anyway, so why is it said that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava? I mean, of course, he's always chanting the name of Ram. I understand that. But because Pisachas, Buddhas, Pranas, it's a pretty interesting temple. Imagine, I come here to Mangalarti and then some of the ladies come riding on brooms to Mangalarti. And they have, long witches here. And the men have, 10 heads and, big teeth coming out like that. It'd be a frightening Mangalarti. But Lord Shiva does that because he's preaching to the most degraded people, isn't it? Lord Shiva's associates. And they smoke ganja and everything like that. Just like they do in the university, right? Anyway, so that's how a devotee is known. Actually, Prabhupada said you can see a devotee's exalted character by his ability to convert people to Krishna consciousness of all different levels. Like his divine grace to the Prabhupada, he was able to come to the Western world, and basically it was like Lord Shiva's temple. Why do we say that? Because everyone was smoking ganja. It's simply like going, it was like Lord Shiva's work. Everyone, actually Prabhupada said that ganja smoking came from India. It's not that the hippies started it. That's a tradition in India. We've told the story that sometimes I circumambulate a temple of Lord Shiva and they're smoking the ganja. It's even more concentrated ganja. It's called hashish. You don't know what that is. Don't try to find out. And they roll big, big cigarettes with this, and they're all the Shiva bhaktas, they're sitting behind the temple. Om Namo Shivaya. Because in Fiji you have your kava. So anyway, so they're sitting behind there, and I circumambulate. They're because Lord Shiva is a devotee, and they're very kind to me. They want to offer Mahaprasad. They say, "Oh Maharaj, Mahaprasad, please take." And their eyes are dilated. Do you understand? Dilated. That means the pupils become very big when people are intoxicated. That's how you can tell if someone's taking intoxication. Look in their eyes. I mean, at least psychedelics. Not beer. Beer doesn't do that. So, and I have to say, I basically have to say, today is Ekadasi, even though it's not. And I don't take Mahaprasad today. Just give it to my servant here. Give it to Sumukhila. No, I was just joking. So, that's why Lord Shiva is more, we consider him so merciful. So Prabhupada came, and everyone was like that. Basically, if you see some of the initial kirtans in Tompkins Square Park, The people, you can see they're intoxicated while they're dancing. It's amazing. Prabhupada found some of his disciples in nudist colonies, you know, without not wearing clothes. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what Prabhupada did. And his godbrothers criticized him for it. Just like people may criticize Lord Shiva. So his godbrothers said that, oh, Prabhupada was successful because he liked associating with such persons. But not true. For Prabhupada was the greatest austerity. Prabhupada was from a very high-class family. He'd never seen those things before. I mean, Prabhupada was so high class. He never ate meat his whole life. One time a doctor tried to give him meat, chicken, and he threw up because he had typhoid. There's a whole story when Prabhupada was young. Prabhupada had typhoid and the doctor thought chicken soup was good for him. They do that here too in Fiji? Doctor, they give chicken soup? You don't give chicken soup to people, do you? That's good. So, he was giving chicken soup, the doctor boasts. He was giving chicken soup to Prabhupada when he was a little baby, and he just threw up. He threw up instead of taking it. And then he got better. But Prabhupada never touched meat, never touched intoxication, never had illicit sex, never even thought of anything other than Krishna and Krishna's service. And so then you put Prabhupada in the middle of the greatest degradation, which is the hippie revolution. And Prabhupada was compassionate. He didn't judge people. He saw the soul within the people, within the hippies, within whatever. And that's the sign of a pure devotee. That's a sign of a Mahabhagwat. Because a Mahabhagwat is capable of making anybody a devotee by his association. A Madhyama Adhikari, you know, people get a little crazy, he avoids them. Or they're against Krishna. But a Mahabharata. So Prabhupada showed his exalted position. So here you have the story of Bali Maharaj showing his exalted position by remaining with the demons. And Prahlad Maharaj also remained with the demons because that was his family. And he tried his best to preach and convert them. And Vibhishan also. It's described that Vibhishan is still on the earth planet today. And he comes every year to see Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. Did you know this? Devotees sometimes see this giant man come out of the ocean in Jagannath Puri. And then he shrinks to normal size, goes in to see Lord Jagannath, and goes back into the ocean, back to Lanka. So we should respect these particular devotees who are actually in demon families. And even there's, you know, there's even story of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great liberated soul, but sometimes there's stories that, anyway, we don't want to tell stories about things that happened in his family before he manifested his devotional proclivities and propensities. So these things happen, and Bali Maharaj is a great devotee, Mahajan. And so what does that mean? That means we should stay and preach Krishna consciousness rather than running away to Vrindavan just to be, you know, pure devotees or something like that. If we want to be pure devotees, we have to follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. And even if that means remaining with the demons, but to give mercy out to the demoniac personalities in this Kali Yuga. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments? If not, I'll ask people online. Yeah?
Where does the demons get their energy and strength? Why are they so powerful?
They get their strength from Krishna. Like everybody else. Krishna says in the Gita that I am the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent. Isn't it? So, Krishna desires that. Everybody gives their strength and intelligence from Krishna. Because of their desire. Also the demons, or someone is acting demoniacally, they have certain desires. And Krishna, that's another reason why demons are required, because people have demoniac desires, and Krishna fulfilling the will or enabling the free will of the living entities has to give people facility. If I want to forget Krishna, Krishna has to give me facility. Otherwise, there's no free will. If Krishna forced me, sometimes people ask, why doesn't Krishna just make me love him? One devotee I know, a friend of mine, he prayed to Krishna, please, Krishna, take away my free will. But that's not our philosophy. If you take away my free will, I'm simply a machine. Just like my computer, it has no free will. It simply does what I want sometimes. But it's not deciding. I mean, some of us, we really get angry at our computer. But we thinking the computer, you know, why, you stupid computer, you did this, you did that. But a computer has no personality, no independence, no soul. But we do. And if you take our independence away from us, you turn us into a computer. And then there's no love. Unless you have the ability to hate, then there's no love. Unless you have the ability to not love, then there is no love. Imagine, you know, a young man coming to a young girl and saying, I love you, because there's no alternative. And that's very romantic, isn't it? I love you because I'm not programmed any other way. This is my programming. I love you. What is the sense? So love has to be voluntary, and we're part and parcels of Krishna, and we have the same propensities Krishna has, and one of them is independence. Krishna is supremely independent, Swaraj. He can do anything he wants, and nobody can interfere. We are limitedly independent. We can choose Maya or Krishna. You choose Maya? Nahi kasticchananda bija tu tishtitiya karma kri. Go to the bar, right? Fight, watch the Fiji 7 game. Maya say that. You think it's something else? It's just Maya. You've chosen Krishna Bahira Mukha. So you're being forced to act. Your tongue is dragging you so many places. Tongue das. Jiwa das. Jib das. Anyway, that's Bengali. So you're choosing. Or you could choose Krishna, and then you're serving out of love. So it's your choice. You can choose one or the other. But that Krishna gives facility. If I want to become an atheist, Krishna says, okay, here's a good philosophy. Here's Darwin's theory of evolution. Who do you think is the author of Darwin's theory of evolution? Krishna. You think some idiot Darwin could have thought it up? Krishna gave him the philosophy. Because he's giving him intelligence. Darwin wants to come to the point where there's no God. Alright, so here's a nice philosophy. No God. Life comes from matter. But those who are Krishna conscious know that that is just avashuddha buddhaya, impure intelligence. And that's given by Krishna because of their desire. So another point, yeah, in that regard is we have to be careful of our desires. If we are not desirous of Krishna, then we get impure intelligence as a result. Because, you know, Krishna is reciprocating with us. Yayatamam prabhajante. Tamsitaiva bhajamiham. Krishna's equal. Krishna has no favorites. Samaham sarvabhuteshu namaitvesho sinam priyaha. So, if we desire something other than Krishna, Krishna will say, okay, here's the intelligence. Do it. And then we do it, and we get kicked. and kicked and kicked, and finally we say, okay, Krishna, I surrender. But it takes some time. And surrender means, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six principles: accepting everything favorable for Krishna consciousness, rejecting everything unfavorable, understanding the Lord is always maintaining one, protecting one, being meek and humble, and having no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. You can look that up if you like. I'm not going to go over the list again. So basically we come to the point of surrender. Krishna, I'm yours. We tried so hard to enjoy this tongue, the belly, genitals, everything in this world, and now look at me. I surrender. Just like when we were young, sometimes we would torture people. I wouldn't do it. They take their arm and twist it behind the back. Did they ever do that here in Fiji? Until the person says, uncle, or I give up. So Krishna's doing that, you know. I said, all right, you want to get your arm twisted? Okay, you ready to surrender?
No.
I'm independent. Anyway, so free will is, in the spiritual world, we choose according to our natural, innate, that means inborn propensities, how to love Krishna. It's all free. You understand? In the spiritual world, you want to be a gopi, you want to be a coward boy, I mean, it's all your natural propensity. You want to be a peacock. That would be interesting. That's, you choose. I mean, it's all free. It's just so wonderful. But here you don't choose anything. I'm not choosing to get old. Did I choose it? No. I'm not choosing to get sick. It's like we're trying to chant nicely this morning and there's so much mucus there. Am I choosing that? I'm thinking, go away, mucus, or whatever. Does it work? So I'm forced. But in the spiritual world, you're not forced. Everything is just free. It's just so wonderful. So, any other questions or comments? Yes, doctor. How do we apply compassion? First of all, let's think of the negative side of it. Don't be judgmental. In other words, it's very easy to judge someone, to put a label on someone. You're a rascal, you're a demon, you're an idiot, you're a fool, you're less intelligent, you're a jackass. Yes. Anyway, it's very easy. That's what we normally do. Try to get away from that. Try to see that people are struggling. Manasashtani Indriyani Prakutistani Karshati. That if someone is in Maya, they're suffering. But we don't think like that. We see people in Maya, think, oh, they're really enjoying. And we become a little envious. Why can't I enjoy like that? Right? We see someone driving a big car. Like I was just in Australia, people have these Mercedes and BMWs. And of course I'm not attracted to that, but Lamborghinis I am. You know what a Lamborghini is? No, none of you know what that is. That's a fancy car, sports car. Because when I was young, I had a sports car. And then Krishna took it away from me, that rascal Krishna. You know, a nice sports car, convertible, showing off, waving to everybody. 2 days after I joined the movement, Krishna took it away. I'm still angry with Krishna. So sometimes the point I'm making is we see people with these opulent things, and we criticize. Or in our minds. But instead we should understand Shastra Chakshus, that if people are not Krishna conscious, they're suffering. They're in anxiety. It's hard to understand that, isn't it? You see a very rich person, rich man, And you think, wow, he's really enjoying it. No, he's anxiety, he's suffering. Mukti, Mukti, city, come, Sakaleya Shanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkan Matayiva Shanta. If one is interested in bhakti, and sense gratification, mukti, liberation, or powers or position in this world, he's not happy. But we think they are happy. But they're not. And then we become greedy. So we should first of all see through Shastra that everybody who is not Krishna conscious is suffering. And if we see someone suffering, then we should want to help them. If you see someone lying in the street because they've been hit by a car, do you just drive by if there's no one to help them? No, you get out of your car. I mean, if you don't, you're just so hard-hearted. See, for example, in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit has just heard the whole explanation of all the hells given by Shukadev Goswami. And instead of thinking, oh, wow, look at those living entities get tortured by the Yamadutas, isn't that cool? No, he's thinking, how can they get liberated? And he asks Shukadev Goswami, how can they get liberated? And Shukadev Goswami tests him in different ways, but ultimately the answer is Tadmat Sankirtanam Vishnor, by the chanting of the Lord's holy names. Everybody needs the Lord's holy names. So that's how you develop compassion, by seeing how people are suffering in this world. Shouldn't hate anybody. You've seen so much suffering as a doctor, right? Does that make you compassionate? Yeah. And even if someone is well, then that means, well means they're just... Yeah. Oh my God.
And he's a young man, and now he has to have his eye removed. These are the people suffering that we see.
And don't think that's only one case. Something will happen to all of us like that, and to everybody in this world. Maybe not the same thing, but you know, this is the nature of this world. And so that's how we should see that everybody is suffering unless they're Krishna conscious. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to see like that, especially if one's attached to the material world. But it's true. People are in anxiety. Because if you're not peaceful, you can't be happy. So, any other quick questions? Quick questions? Yes.
My understanding is that in Satyuga, it was complete with virtue, and there was absence of any vice.
Yeah.
So then how do we understand that?
Well, first of all, when you talk about the four yugas, you're actually talking about certain planets, like the middle planets. It's not that the higher planets and other planets necessarily have to go through the four yugas. So, you know, you're talking about the middle planet. Earth is one of the middle planets. So, in Satya Yuga, you know, just about everybody's a Paramahamsa. And they're absorbed in meditation, and that's the authorized system. But the demigods are still there. And the demons are still there. But in other words, these four cycles of yugas are not affecting all the planets. So, does that answer that question?
Yes. So, on the same token, in the 10,000 years of Golden Age that is to come, is coming.
Yeah. I would say that there would still be some. Keep the devotees on their toes. You know, it's still Kali Yuga, but there'll be a predominance of Krishna consciousness, and we can see it happening. I mean, some devotees, this is another problem I have, is that devotees, in order to excuse their lack of ability to preach Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, it's a lot worse in Kali Yuga than it was 20 years ago. It's not. You people always think like that. Not always, generally think like that. Oh, Kali Yuga's coming on fast. 20 years ago, it wasn't so bad. You just don't remember how bad it was. I get that from my mother all the time. She's not a devotee, but she says, oh, the world's much worse than it is, than it ever was before. I said, no, it's not. Don't you remember World War II? Don't you remember Hitler? You know, so the world, it's not that Kali Yuga's going so fast that in the next 2 hours you're going to see things degrade. Or even the next 10 or 20 years. It's a gradual process. And by, actually, it's, in one sense, people are, there's much more openness to vegetarianism now and to spiritual philosophy. I would say that because of Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's preaching, there's a change in society. There's more people into bhajans and kirtans. You know, there's still a lot of degraded things happening, but I'd say the world was actually less degraded, or, I don't know, less degraded, but less Kali Yuga influenced since Prabhupada came to the Western world. And I see great hope. But we have to become qualified because we can't even maintain peace amongst ourselves. What to speak of ruling the world? You know, if we turn the world over to us right now, it would be a disaster. Isn't it? I mean, what will we do with the world? You know, we make Sumukh the Prime Minister of Fiji. What would you do with it? You wouldn't know how to do it. So therefore, we have to mature. So it's going to take several generations. But I see very positive things happening because of the Sankirtan that's going on all over the world, because of the book distribution. Like Prabhupada, there's an interesting story about one of Prabhupada's predictions, and I'm going to end class with this. That Prabhupada told the devotees, oh, there's World War III is coming very soon, and it's going to be between Russia and the United States, and, you know, India is going to be the worst affected. America's going to take the side of Pakistan. You remember these predictions? Did everybody read about those? In the morning walks, Prabhupada made those predictions. And then the devotees did Sankirtan, and then they asked Prabhupada, this is an interesting quote, what happened? What happened to the war? We were waiting for it. Many devotees got into the war. They thought, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. So this way we can preach. You know, really not intelligent. So they asked Prabhupada, why didn't we get a war? And Prabhupada said, Krishna changed his mind. Because of our Sankirtan. If you do Sankirtan, distribute books, distribute the holy names, Krishna can change the course of history. Krishna can change the course of history. I mean, just like even here in Fiji, you have a prime minister who's Krishna conscious now. Or at least Ram. Right? He has the name of Ram. And, it, you know, things are much better now, isn't it, in Fiji? More equality, isn't that true? So, this is due to the devotees. They don't see it, but that's due to the devotees preaching and chanting. It's having an effect. It's a subtle effect, but it's becoming manifest more and more because of the devotees' Krishna consciousness here. And as we mature, then it will become more obvious. But first, we have to mature. We have to become Krishna conscious. It's not that you become Krishna conscious by putting on a dhoti or sari or tilak. It's not like that. It's an internal thing. You have to become deeply Krishna conscious, devoted to the pleasure of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, realizing your spiritual identity. Then you can change, you can actually completely change society. Okay, on that happy note. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.